Chapter 53. Fading Words. In the depths of a shrinking void, Rand saw Moraine hurtle seemingly out of nowhere to grapple with Lanfear. The attacks on him ceased as the two women plunged through the doorframe Tirangrial in a flash of white light that did not end. It filled the subtly twisted redstone rectangle as though trying to flood through and striking some invisible barrier. Lightnings arched silver and blue around the Tirangrial, more and more violently. Rasping buzzes crackled through the air. Rand staggered to his feet. The pain was not gone, really, but the pressure was, bringing promise that the pain would go. His eyes could not leave the Tirangrial. Moraine. Her name hung in his head, sliding across the void. Lan lurched by him, fixed on the wagon, leaning as if only by moving forward could he stop from falling. More than standing was beyond Rand for the moment. He channeled, caught the water in flows of air.
You can't do anything, Lan. You can't go after her.
I know, Lan said hopelessly.
Held in mid-step, he did not struggle, only stared at the Tirangrial that had swallowed Moraine.
The light sent me peace, I know.
The wagon itself had caught fire now. Rand tried to suppress the flames, but as soon as he drew the heat from one blaze, the lightnings ignited another. The doorframe itself was beginning to smoke, though it was stone. A white, acrid smoke that gathered thickly under the gray dome. Even a whiff burned Rand's nostrils and made him cough. His skin prickled and stung where the smoke brushed. Hastily, he untied the weave of the dome, dispelled it rather than wait for it to dissipate, and wove around the wagon a tall chimney of air that gleamed like glass to carry the fumes high and away. Only then did he release Lan. He would not have put it past the man to follow Moraine anyway if he could have reached the wagon. It was all in flames now, the redstone doorway as well, melting as if it were wax. But for a warder, that might not matter.
She is gone. I cannot feel her presence.
The words sounded ripped out of Lan's chest. He turned and began walking down the line of wagons without a backward glance. Following the warder with his eyes, Rand saw Avienda on her knees, holding Egwene. Releasing Saidine, he began to run down the quay. Physical pain that had been distant crashed home, but he ran, however awkwardly. Asmodian was there, too, looking around as if he expected Lanfear to leap out from behind a wagon or a toppled grain cart. And Matt, squatting with his spear propped across his shoulder, fanning Egwene with his hat. Rand skidded to a halt.
Is she?
I don't know, Matt said miserably.
She still breathes.
Avienda sounded uncertain how long that would continue, but Egwene's eyes fluttered open as Amis and Bear pushed roughly past Rand with Malaine and Soralia. The wise ones knelt clustered around the younger women, murmuring to themselves and each other as they examined Egwene.
I feel...
Egwene began weakly and stopped to swallow. Her face was bloodless pale.
I... hurt...
A tear leaked from one eye.
"Of course you do," Soralia said briskly. "That is what happens when you let yourself be caught in a man's schemes." "She cannot go with you, Randall Thor."
Malaine's sun-haired beauty was openly angry, but she was not looking at him. It could have been anger at him, or anger at what had happened.
"I will be right as well, Water, with a little rest,"
Egwene whispered. Bear dampened a cloth from a waterskin and laid it across Egwene's forehead.
You will be right with a great deal of rest. I fear you will not be meeting Nynaeve and Elaine tonight. You will not go near till Aeron Riad for some days, until you are stronger again. Do not give me that stubborn look, girl. We will watch your dreams to make sure if need be, and give your care to Soralia if you so much as think of disobeying. You will not disobey me more than once, Aes Sedai or not, Soralia said.
but with a touch of sympathy at odds with her leathery-faced grimness. Frustration was plain in Egwene's face.
"I, at least, am well enough to do what must be done,"
Avienda said. In truth, she looked not much less haggard than Egwene, but she managed a defiant stare at Rand, plainly expecting argument. Her defiance faded somewhat when she realized the four wise ones were looking at her.
"I am,"
she muttered.
"Of course," Rand said hollowly.
"I am,"
she insisted. To him. She carefully avoided meeting the wise one's gaze.
"Lanfear had me a moment less than she did Egwene. That was enough to make the difference between us. I have toe to you, Randalthor. I do not think we would have survived many moments more. She was very strong."
Her eyes darted down to the burning wagon. Fierce flames had already reduced it to a shapeless, charred pile inside the glassy chimney. The redstone Tirangrial was no longer visible at all.
"I did not see all that happened."
"They are," Rand cleared his throat. "They are both gone. Lanfear is dead, and so is Moraine."
Egwene began to cry, sobs shaking her in Avienda's clasp. Avienda put her head down on the other woman's shoulder as if she too might weep.
"You are a fool, Randalthor," Amys said, standing.
That surprisingly youthful face beneath her headscarf and white hair was stone hard.
"About this and many other things, you are a fool."
He turned away from the accusation in her eyes. Moraine was dead. Dead because he could not bring himself to kill one of the Forsaken. He did not know whether he wanted to cry or laugh wildly. If he did either, he did not think he would be able to stop. The dockside that had been emptying when he made the dome was filled again, though few came nearer than where that misty gray wall had stood. Wise ones moved about, aiding the burned, comforting the dying, assisted by white-robed Gaishine and men in the cotton sore. Moans and cries stabbed at him. He had not been quick enough. Moraine dead. No healing for even the worst injured. Because he...
"I could not. The light helped me. I could not."
More Aielmen stood watching him, some only now unveiling. He still did not see one maiden. Not only Aiel were there. Dobrain, bareheaded on a black gelding, did not take his eyes from Rand. And not far off, Talmanis and Elysion and Darid sat their horses watching Matt almost as closely as they did Rand. People lined the top of the great city wall, outlined and cast in shadow by the rising sun, and more along the curtain walls. Two of those shadowed shapes turned away when he looked up, saw each other only 20 paces apart, and seemed to recoil. He would have wagered they were Mylan and Maringill. Lan was back with the horses at the last wagon in the line, stroking Aldeeb's white nose, Moraine's mare. Rand went to him.
"I'm sorry, Lan. If I'd been faster, if I'd..."
He exhaled heavily.
"I couldn't kill one, so I killed the other. The light burned me blind."
If it had, at that moment, he would not have cared.
"The wheel weaves."
Lan went to Mondarb, busied himself checking the black stallion's saddle girth.
"She was a soldier, a warrior in her way as much as I. This could have happened 200 times these past 20 years. She knew it, and so did I. It was a good day to die."
His voice was as hard as it had ever been, but those cold blue eyes were red-rimmed.
"Still, I'm sorry. I should have..."
The man would not be comforted by should-haves, and they dug at Rand's soul.
"I hope you can still be my friend, Lan. After... I value your counsel, and your sword training, and I'll need both in the days to come.
I am your friend, Rand, but I cannot stay.
Lan swung up into his saddle.
Moraine did something to me that has not been done in hundreds of years, not since the time when Aes Sedai still sometimes bonded a warder, whether he wanted it or not. She altered my bond, so it passed to another when she died. Now I must find that other, become one of her warders. I am one already. I can feel her faintly, somewhere far to the west, and she can feel me. I must go, Rand. It is part of what Moraine did. She said she would not allow me time to die avenging her.
He gripped the reins as if holding Mondar back, as if holding himself back from digging his spurs in.
If you ever see Nynaeve again, tell her.
For an instant, that stone face crumpled in anguish. An instant, then it was granite again. He muttered under his breath, but Rand heard.
A clean wound heals quickest and pains shortest.
Aloud, he said,
tell her I've found someone else. Green sisters are sometimes as close to their warders as other women are to husbands. In every way. Tell her I've gone to be a green sister's lover as well as her sword. These things happen. It has been a long time since I've seen her.
I will tell her whatever you say, Lan, but I don't know that she'll believe me.
Lan bent from the saddle to catch Rand's shoulder in a hard grip. Rand remembered calling the man a half-tame wolf, but those eyes made a wolf seem a lapdog.
We are alike in many ways, you and I. There is a darkness in us. Darkness, pain, death. They radiate from us. If ever you love a woman, Rand, leave her and let her find another. It will be the best gift you can give her.
Straightening, he raised one hand.
Peace favor your sword. Tyshar, Manetherin.
The ancient salute. True blood of Manetherin. Rand lifted his hand.
Tyshar, Malkir.
Lan healed Mondarb's flanks, and the stallion leaped forward, scattering Aiel and everyone else from his path, as if to carry the last of the Malkiri wherever he was headed at a gallop the entire way.
The last embrace of the mother welcome you home, Lan, Rand muttered, then shivered.
That was part of the funeral service in Shinar, and elsewhere in the borderlands. They were still watching him, the Aiel, the people atop the walls. The tower would know of today, or a version of it, as soon as a pigeon could fly there. If Ravin did have some way of watching as well, all it took was one raven in the city, one rat here along the river. He certainly would not expect anything today. Elida would think him weakened, perhaps more pliable. And Ravin? He realized what he was doing and winced.
Stop it. For 1 minute at least, stop and mourn.
He did not want all those eyes on him. Aiel fell back before him, almost as readily as they had before Mondarb. The dockmaster's slate-roofed hut was a single windowless stone room lined with shelves full of ledgers and scrolls and papers, lit by two lamps on a rough table covered with tax seals and customs stamps. Rand slammed the door behind him to shut out eyes.
Moraine dead, Egwene injured, and Lan gone.
A high price to pay for Lanfear.
Mourn, burn you, he growled. She deserved that much. Don't you have any feelings left?
But mostly he felt numb. His body hurt, but under it was deadness. Hunching his shoulders, he stuffed his hands into his pockets and felt Moraine's letters. Slowly he drew them out. Some things he should think on, she had said. Stuffing Tom's back, he broke the seal on the other. The pages were covered thickly with Moraine's elegant script.
These words will fade within moments after this leaves your hands. A warning attuned to you. So be careful of it. That you are reading this means that events have fallen out at the docks, as I hoped.
He stopped, staring, then read on quickly.
Since the first day I reached Roydian, I have known. It need not trouble you how. Some secrets belong to others, and I will not betray them. That a day would come in Kyrian when news would arrive of Morgaze. I did not know what that would be. If what we heard is true, the light have mercy on her soul. She was willful and stubborn, with the temper of a lioness at times, but for all that a true, good, and gracious queen. But each time that news led to the docks on the following day. There were three branches from the docks, but if you are reading this, I am gone, and so is Lanfear.
Rand's hands tightened on the pages. She had known. Known, and still she brought him here. Hurriedly, he smoothed out the crumpled paper.
The other two paths were much worse. Down one, Lanfear killed you. Down the other, she carried you away. And when next we saw you, you called yourself Luz Theron Telamon and were her devoted lover. I hope that Egwene and Avienda have survived unharmed. You see, I do not know what happens in the world after, except perhaps for one small thing which does not concern you. I could not tell you, for the same reason I could not tell Lan. Even given the choices, I could not be sure which you would pick. Men of the Two Rivers, it seems, retain much of storied Manetherin in them, traits shared with men of the Borderlands. It is said that a Borderlander will take a dagger's wound to avoid harm to a woman and count it fair trade. I dared not risk that you would place my life above your own, certain that somehow you could sidestep fate. Not a risk, I fear, but a foolish certainty, as today has surely proved. My choice, Moraine, he muttered. It was my choice. A few final points. If Lan has not already gone, tell him that what I did to him, I did for the best. He will understand one day, and I hope bless me for it. Trust no woman fully who is now Aes Sedai. I do not speak simply of the Black Aja, though you must always be watchful for them. Be as suspicious of Varen as you are of Alviarin. We have made the world dance as we sang for 3,000 years. That is a difficult habit to break, as I have learned while dancing to your song. You must dance free, and even the best intentioned of my sisters may well try to guide your steps as I once did. Please deliver Tom Marilyn's letter safely when you meet him again. There is a small matter that I once told him of, which I must make clear for his peace of mind. Lastly, be wary, too, of Master Jason Natale. I cannot approve wholly, but I understand. Perhaps it was the only way. Yet be careful of him. He is the same man now that he always was. Remember that always. May the light illumine and protect you. You will do well. It was signed simply Moraine. She had almost never used her house name. He reread the second last paragraph again closely. Somehow, she had known who Asmodian was. It had to be that. Known that one of the Forsaken was right there in front of her, and never blinked once. She had known why, too, if he read it right.
He would have thought in a letter that would go blank when he set it down, she could have come right out and said what she meant. Not just concerning Asmodian. About how she had learned what she had in Roydian. Something to do with wise ones, or he missed his guess, and as much chance of finding out more from the letter as from them. About Aes Sedai. Was there a reason she mentioned Varen? And why Alviarin instead of Elida? Even about Tom and Lan. For some reason, he did not think she had left a letter for Lan. The warder was not the only one who believed in clean wounds. He almost took Tom's letter out and opened it, but she might have warded it the same way she had his. Aes Sedai and Kyrianen, she had wrapped herself in mystery and manipulation to the end. To the end. That was what he was trying to avoid with all this blather about her keeping secrets. She had known what would happen, and come as bravely as any Aiel. Come to her death knowing it waited. She had died because he could not bring himself to kill Lanfear. He could not kill one woman, so another had died. His eyes fell on the last words. "You will do well." They cut like a cold razor. "Why do you weep here alone, Randolthor? I have heard that some wetlanders think it is shame to be seen weeping." He glared at Sulan, standing in the doorway. She was fully accoutred, cased bow on her back, quiver at her belt, round hide buckler, and three spears in hand.
"I'm not..."
There was dampness on his cheeks. He scrubbed it away.
"It's hot in here. Makes me sweat like a... What do you want? I thought you had all decided to abandon me and go back to the Threefold Land."
"It is not we who have abandoned you, Randolthor." Shutting the door behind her, she sat on the floor and laid her buckler and a pair of the spears down. "You have abandoned us." In one motion, she put a foot against the last spear between her hands, heaved, and snapped it in two.
"What are you doing?"
She tossed aside the pieces and picked up another spear.
"I said, what are you doing?"
The white-haired maiden's face might have given even Lan pause, but Rand bent and seized the spear between her hands. Her soft-booted foot came to rest against his knuckles, not lightly.
"Will you put us in skirts and make us marry and tend hearth? Or are we to lie beside your fire and lick your hand when you give us a scrap of meat?"
Her muscles tensed, and the spear broke, scoring his palm with splinters. He snatched his freed hand back with a curse, shaking off droplets of blood.
"I don't mean any such thing. I thought you understood."
She took up the last spear, set her foot, and he channeled, weaving air to hold her as she was. She only stared at him wordlessly.
"Burn me, you said nothing. So I kept the maidens out of the battle with Culloden. Not everyone fought that day, and you never said a word."
Sulan's eyes widened in incredulity.
"You kept us from the Dance of Spears? We kept you from the dance. You are like a girl, newly wed to the spear, ready to rush out and kill Culloden, with never a thought for the spear you might take from behind. You are the Karakarn. You have no right to risk yourself needlessly."
Her voice flattened.
"Now you go to fight the Forsaken. The secret is well kept, but I have heard enough from those who lead the other societies."
"And you want me to keep out of this fight as well," he said quietly.
"Do not be a fool, Randolthor. Any could have danced the spears with Culloden. For you to risk it was the thinking of a child. None among us can face the Shadow Sold save you."
"Then why?"
He stopped. He already knew the answer. After that blood-soaked day against Culloden, he had convinced himself they would not mind. He had wanted to believe they would not.
"Those who go with you have been chosen."
The words came like hurled stones.
"Men from every society. Men. There are no maidens, Randolthor. Farderai's Mai carries your honor, and you take ours away.
He drew a deep breath, fumbling for words.
I do not like to see a woman die. I hate it, Sulin. It curdles me up inside. I could not kill a woman if my life hung on it.
The pages of Moraine's letter rustled in his hand. Dead, because he could not kill Lanfear. Not always just his own life.
Sulin, I would rather go against Ravin alone than see one of you die.
A foolish thing. Everyone needs another to watch her back.
So it is Ravin.
Even Roydan of the Thunderwalkers and Turol of the Stone Dogs held that back.
She glanced at her upraised foot, held against the spear by the same flows that snared her arms.
Release me, and we will talk.
After a moment's hesitation, he unraveled the weave. He was tensed to seize her again if need be, but she only crossed her legs and sat bouncing the spear on her palms.
Sometimes I forget you are raised out of our blood, Randalthor. Listen to me. I am what I am. This is what I am.
She hefted the spear.
Sulin. Listen, Randalthor. I am the spear. When a lover came between me and the spear, I chose the spear. Some chose the other way. Some decide they have run with the spears long enough that they want a husband, a child. I have never wanted anything else. No chief would hesitate to send me wherever the dance is hottest. If I died there, my first sisters would mourn me, but not a fingernail more than when our first brother fell. A tree killer who stabbed me to the heart in my sleep would do me more honor than you do. Do you understand now?
I understand, but he did understand. She did not want him to make her something other than what she was. All he had to do was be willing to watch her die. What happens if you break the last spear?
If I have no honor in this life, perhaps in another.
She said it as if it were just another explanation. It took him a moment to comprehend. All he had to do was be willing to watch her die.
You don't leave me any choices, do you? No more than Moraine had.
There are always choices, Randalthor. You have a choice, and I have one. Jieto allows no other.
He wanted to snarl at her, to curse Jieto and everyone who followed it.
Choose out your maiden, Sulin. I don't know how many I can take, but Farderai's Mai will have as many as any other society.
He stalked past her, and her sudden smile. Not relief. Pleasure. Pleasure that she would have the chance to die. He should have left her wrapped up in Saidin, left her to be dealt with somehow when he came back from Camelin. Slamming the door open, he strode out onto the quay and stopped.
Enyla headed a line of maidens, each with three spears in her hands, a line leading back from the dockmaster's door, vanishing into the nearest of the gates to the city. Some of the Aielmen on the dockside eyed them curiously, but it was obviously something between Farderai's Mai and the Karakarn, and no business of any other society. Amys and three or four other wise ones, who had once been maidens, were watching more closely. Most of the non-Aiel had gone, except for a few men nervously riding overturned grain carts and trying to look elsewhere. Enyla stepped toward Rand, then halted and smiled as Sulin came out. Not relief. Pleasure. Smiles of pleasure running back down that long line of maidens. Smiles on those wise ones, too. And a sharp nod for him from Amys, as if he had put an end to some idiotic behavior.
I thought maybe they were going to go in one at a time and kiss you out of your miseries, Matt said.
Rand frowned at him, standing there leaning on his spear and grinning, wide-brimmed hat tipped back on his head.
How can you be so cheerful?
The smell of seared flesh still hung in the air, and the moans of burned men and women being cared for by wise ones.
"Because I'm alive," Matt snarled. "What do you want me to do, cry?"
He shrugged uncomfortably.
"Amis says Egwene really will be all right in a few days."
He did not look around then, but as though he did not want to see what he saw.
"Burn me, if we're going to do this thing, let's do it. Doviandi se tovia sagain."
"What?"
"I said it's time to roll the dice. Did Sulin stop up your ears?"
"Time to roll the dice," Rand agreed. The flames had died inside the glassy chimney of air, but the white smoke still rose as though flames yet consumed the Tirangrial.
Moraine. He should have...
Done was done. The maidens were crowding down around Sulin, as many as would fit onto the quay. Done was done, and he had to live with it. Death would be a release from what he had to live with.
"Let's do it,"